Hey everybody, Simon Rentner here. Welcome to the Checkout Podcast that you can subscribe to on iTunes and Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts. Why don't you give us a review while you're there if you like what we do here at WBGO. Before Giles Peterson was a legendary broadcaster and tastemaker and breaking talent on the BBC, he was climbing rooftops, being a radio pirate, championing great black music. Fast forward 35 years, now he's the industry standard in creating diverse playlists that explode musical boundaries. In this Checkout Podcast from the Winter Jazz Festival, Peterson reflects back on his pirating days, and we also discuss all things jazz and how, as he calls it, the J word might be a disservice to promoting this music that we love so much. Plus, Peterson shares his favorite music pilgrimage destination. And surprisingly, it isn't Cuba or Brazil. All of that is coming up next to celebrate the brand new release, a compilation called We Out Here, showcasing UK's red hot jazz scene with dope tracks from Moses Boyd, Shabaka Hutchings, Joe Armin Jones, and so much more. My conversation with Giles Peterson next. This is The Checkout. I'm Simon Rentner. Giles Peterson is in the house shouting, "We out here," from the London rooftops, or should I say from his Brownswood basement. We Out Here is the latest recording from his Brownswood label, which is also a declarative statement saying we should all, everyone, worldwide, be paying attention to what is going on in London, the UK right now, all the great music. But before we get to the heroic gatekeeper of this music, the iconic Giles Peterson, let's listen to one of my favorite tracks from We Out Here, The Balance. That was drummer Moses Boyd, The Balance, Giles Peterson here, and We Out Here is the name of his latest compilation from Brownswood. Welcome to the show, The Checkout from WBGO.
Pleasure. It's great to be here. And it's interesting hearing Moses Boyd because there's a New York connection with him because he was originally supported by the Steve Reed Foundation, who was a drummer based in New York. And we have a foundation that I run with Forte and Floating Points and a few other musicians and DJs. And the whole idea of it is to sort of support musicians in need and also to help mentor new generation musicians like Moses Boyd. So he came through the sort of mentorship side of what we do. And
in New York?
It's based in London. We do this with help from the PRS.
Okay.
And
so this is sort of like the Jazz Foundation of London.
Exactly, yeah. And both Forte and myself worked extensively with the drummer Steve Reed, who was an incredible human being and inspiration to a lot of us with his approach to music. He worked with Miles Davis and Fela Kuti and was one of the leading lights in independent jazz production and releasing his own records. Very much connected to people like Arthur Blythe and spent a lot of time in the UK. He passed away maybe around 10 years ago now in very difficult circumstances, kind of pre-Obamacare. And I spent quite a lot of time with him towards the end of his days. And it wasn't a great state of affairs. There was no health insurance. And it was just, I just saw another side of, you know, what it's like to be a musician and the amount of work and graft and effort they put in for us really to benefit from, and to see that he wasn't really getting a lot of love at the end. So I was very touched and affected by that, as we all were, and we felt it was sort of part of our responsibility as the privileged DJ generation to put a bit back into those musicians that have really led the way for many, many years. So we do a lot of events, which brings in some funds, which can help musicians in need. So, and we've been helping a lot of musicians, particularly actually in the States, because people like Arthur Blythe, most recently. And also the other flip side of that is to be able to sort of spotlight the new generation and give them some early support and mentoring.
And that's where Moses Boyd
comes
in.
That's how I first met Moses Boyd, yeah, because we threw a bit of money his way. He put out his own record called Rye Lane Shuffle, and that was a big track for us DJs. Moses Boyd, now he's on the We Out Here compilation, and he's part of this movement that's l'invasion britannique, as the French are calling it.
And you are French, Swiss, not Giles Peterson is your stage name, which I just learned recently. But what is exactly going on in London right now? I mean, you've been in the music game for well over three decades. I mean, you were in it to win it at 15 years old, 16-ish.
Well, that's actually why my name was changed, because I was I started off on pirate radio. So I was one of those people putting aerials up in these big apartment blocks in all different corners of London. I was that young kid who would go up on the rooftop and sort of switch the transmitters on and broadcast jazz and funk and boogie records to, you know, an unsuspecting public. Very much part of the UK culture, really, and when it comes to music and club culture, I think that, you know, pirate radio is very much a part of that. And because my name was quite unique, being Swiss German, my father, I couldn't kind of go out on that name because they would have found me, because there was only one of those in the telephone book at the time. So I had to change my name to Peterson. And no, I'm not the son of Oscar.
Miniskirt mask, and it's
sort of in the middle of UK's music scene, black music scene, for lack of a better word. What is going on now in this generation as it is reflected on this recording, We Out Here?
Yes, well, I think that for me, back in those early days of being a pirate and...
I love that you call yourself a pirate.
Yeah, we were pirates. Back in those days, there wasn't really anywhere you could get the music. The BBC was very traditional, was very rock-oriented in its kind of music output. So the only way you could find and hear interesting music, jazz and world music and soul music, was through the pirate stations or by going to obscure clubs or weekenders, as we called them. We'd go off to holiday resorts that were laying empty in the autumn. This is the time before you could go on cheap flights to Spain or parts of Europe, and British families would have their holidays in these, you know, pretty basic holiday resorts, and they were obviously lying empty. And so we'd organise these weekenders there where DJs would come along, and you know, a few thousand people would turn up and listen to everything from the Fatback Band to Parliament and Funkadelic to Herbie Hancock records. And it was at those places that I really started hearing this incredible music that I had not heard anywhere before, and I very much felt a part of this as my identity, as my uniform. So you know, when I was 15, 16, 17, you were either going to be a punk, or you were going to be into heavy metal, or you might be a soul boy or a casual, as we were called. And that's the decision that I took. So I used to go to these weekenders, I'd listen to this music, and then one year I went to the back room at this weekender and I heard them play John Coltrane. And I was like, my God, I've never heard music like that before. And
do you remember what song?
It was The Night Has a Thousand Eyes. And I remember it was just an amazing moment because, you know, this was music I'd never heard before. It was being played in an environment that I could relate to. There were 50 or 60 people dancing hard to it, spinning, knee dropping, going off to it. It wasn't like listening to jazz in, you know, in a boring old pub, you know, with like old people. It was like my music. It had the energy and we could all relate to it. So ever since that moment, I think I was on a bit of a mission to be able to kind of get that feeling to more people. So that's kind of been my aim for the last 35 years. I've been able to sort of live through all the different changes and developments of both club culture and also the jazz scene in the UK. So whether it's the sort of late 80s, Courtney Pine, Jazz Warriors, Steve Williamson, Cleveland Watkiss generation, who did get their records released in America on various record labels, or whether it's the more recent generation who are beginning to really pop off now, which is this, a lot of the guys that are on the We Out Here compilation, led by the likes of Shabaka Hutchings and Nubia Garcia and Moses Boy and the Ezra Collective. So this is just sort of a continuation of this sort of underground jazz movement that's been going on in the UK for many years, but right now is at a very interesting point.
Well, let's listen to the Shabaka Hutchings track on this recording, We Out Here. He's on clarinet, which is kind of unusual for him. You normally hear him on saxophone. Black Skin, Black Mass. Miles Peterson joins us from the Winter Jazz Festival, speaking to him in Chelsea, in New York, not the UK.
Love this city. It's always nice to be here.
Speaking of Shabaka Hutchings, he brought his band for the first time, a band that I've featured prominently on my show years ago, actually, The Comet Is Coming. And, you know, this is a really interesting place to present that this band, because New Yorkers in general have a problem, I think, with dancing. When it comes to the jazz crowd.
Yeah, I think, well, it's the same a bit everywhere in a way. I think jazz has got this, sometimes people don't quite know what approach to have when you walk through that door, whether you should be sitting down and, you know, treating it with absolute respect, which sometimes that's the right mood and that's the right approach. But I think that certainly recently there's been a much more vibrant energy, which has kind of meant that the musicians are and the audience are playing off each other a lot more. And I think it's an energy that's coming out of club culture, which is obviously very strong in the UK. And now you can go to certain venues, certainly places like Total Refreshment Centre in London, which is a great place where the bands will be playing the kind of music you just heard. But rather than sitting down and giving it the right applause at the right moment, everyone's just getting up and going down, you know, and it's great. So kind of the dream has come true in a way.
I'm sort of going to give you your own medicine. In one of your Brownswood basement studio sessions, you had the notoriously great band Bad Bad Not Good on your show. And you asked them about the J word, which we sort of addressed here. So I ask you, are you running away from it or embracing it, Giles Peterson?
I've always pretty much run away from it. I think that the best way to play jazz is not to actually, in a way, you know, I think it's maybe changing a little bit now. I think that the mood has certainly changed, and I think that it doesn't mean the same, hasn't got the same connotations as it had when I was like 21 years old. But I think that, you know, music is music, and, you know, it's good or it's bad. And I like to mix it into the pot, you know, and I find myself as a broadcaster and someone of musical influence that sometimes by boxing things can actually work against it. And I think that with the jazz word, as a broadcaster, I just like to throw it into my mix without necessarily saying to everybody, this is jazz. I like to just throw all the music in. And yeah, and then people can just make of it what they can, because I think that people have got these sort of associations that perhaps, you know, will switch them off certain types of music before they've even given it a chance. So,
but it's all intuitive and instinctual for you. You just have been doing it on a super instinctive level. You are one of, I mean, the word curator is such a buzzword right now, and you were doing it 20 years ago. And so you're sort of like, oh, did you view it that way?
You know, I do a festival every summer in France, which is called the Worldwide Festival. And the whole dream for me is to be able to put on an event where both bands and DJs can both come out of it really feeling good about how they've been treated, how good the sound has been, how many moments of new discovery they're going to have. And for me to be able to put on a festival that has Orchestra Polyrythmo de Cotonou next to Kamasi Washington, next to Theo Parrish, next to Cool Super or Black Madonna, and the audience all just tripping off all of it at one go, not having multiple rooms and stages, just having it all under one roof or one sky, one stage, and people just sharing this music and allowing all this music to work to benefit each other. And that is really the dream of what I am as a curator. I don't like the idea of putting things into little compartments that you can just feel comfortable within it. I think that you get so much more out of surprise and out of hearing something that you really would never have come across in that environment. So that's how I approach everything that I do, whether it's as a club DJ or whether that's as a radio DJ or whether that's as somebody who runs a record company. You know, I get a lot of pleasure putting out music from Kenya as much as I do putting out music from Brazil or music from, you know, Birmingham. You know, it's about mixing it up and being open about it.
You also released Brownswood Bubblers as part of your other compilation series with some amazing music. And let's break the format a little bit here on this Jazz Station with a Nigerian vocalist that you are obviously a fan of that I was not aware of, Wayne Snow and Rosie. Beautiful track.
Beautiful track. Oh, Lord, where to move my body? Oh, I swear, Rosie got me screaming. My baby girl, slow it down with me. I don't wanna burn out, no, no. Well, baby girl, take it easy with me. I know I'm a grown man, but I've got only one soul. Rosie got me creeping up in love. Where she pulled my hair close to me. Rosie got me screaming.
Rosie by Wayne Snow, Nigerian singer-songwriter. That is from the recent Brownswood Bubblers 12 Part 1 compilation put out by Giles Peterson last year.
Got a very busy year. I mean, last year we released more of the compilation series of Brownswood Bubblers, but we also released a new album from Zara McFarlane, who's actually one of the sort of leaders of the sort of jazz movement that's going on right now. It's her third album that we've released, and she was actually the person who introduced me to Moses Boyd as well, because she brought him in as a very, very young drummer. I think she's somebody who could be held responsible for this movement going on at the moment. She was definitely a big influence for a lot of them. And we've also been working with a Cuban singer called Daime Arosena.
We just made a NPR Jazz Night in America show out of.
Thank you very much. That's been amazing for me to be able to spend a lot of time going to Cuba. I'm about to go back actually to make another album over there. I've been going there for pretty much 10 years now, and Daime's been such a pleasure to work with, and just to see her journey growing and developing, just like Denai Suarez, who's another singer that we released when I was working with Roberta Fonseca on my first journey over there, and she's just been nominated for a Grammy.
So basically, you going to these places in a musical quest. I want to know for you, Giles Peterson, what are your top three stories associated to your own personal musical pilgrimages around the world in your development?
Wow. Well, okay, if you said to me, what's the most important club that I go to every year on a pilgrimage, I'd say it's a place called Precious Hall in Sapporo, which is in northern Japan. So if you're a DJ or you're just fascinated by a sound and club culture, head towards this iconic space and club and room and sound system. So I try and go there once a year. This is where a lot of my other DJ friends try and go. It's not a place you get paid. You just go along. So you can ask someone like Joe Clauzel or Danny Crivet or Francois Kay or DJ Cosmo. We all go there as much as we possibly can. So that's my club inspiration. And of course, going to Japan is always a really amazing experience for us people in music, because you just get so much back when you go there. It's almost like Japanese people, when they walk through the door to an event, they leave all their cynicism at home, and they just go in with a positive energy and really a lot of understanding of the music. So it's very rewarding for any artist to go to Japan, I feel. So I try and go there once or twice a year. I had a eureka moment last year when I introduced the orchestra at the festival that I run in Sète in the south of France. And
the Sun Ra Orchestra.
The Sun Ra Orchestra, led by Marshall Allen. And to have this 93-year-old man on stage with the most incredible band in the world. I see everybody. I see a lot of groups, you know, in my work, whether it's the new generation, hipster, cool, cutting edge, pitchfork friendly group, or whether it's the traditional, jazz band. There is nothing more dynamic, modern, progressive, conclusive, all-seeing than the orchestra. This is a group that anybody in America must see. It's part of your heritage, it's your history, all in one. And to see them going through the history of jazz, finishing off with Marshall Allen on electric saxophone, almost going off in a kind of technozoid type of way, but in the right way, was just phenomenal. And it just made me realize that age has got nothing to do with anything. I mean, this guy was in France at the end of the Second World War. He was an American soldier who was there for the deliverance of France. And here he is, you know, on stage, in Sète, at the age of 93, just killing it. So that to me is inspiring. I mean, in fact, when I was running a record label called Talking Loud, one of the rules of signing to my label was you had to go and see the Sun Ra Orchestra when they played their residencies at Ronnie Scott. So as you can hear from my voice, I'm a massive fan, but I do believe that there is no better band in the world right now than the orchestra.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us, Giles. It's been truly an honor. Let's go out with a beautiful track from We Out Here, Joe Armin Jones, Go See. Thanks for spending some time.
It's brilliant, brilliant. Thank you very much.
Joe Armin Jones, Go See, one of the artists featured on the brand new We Out Here compilation put out by Brownswood. That's Giles Peterson's label. And we thank him so much for joining us on this edition of The Checkout. And if you like all this London jazz, well, we released a new podcast recently with the trumpeter Yaz Ahmed. She has Bahraini Middle Eastern roots, put out a beautiful recording, and she tells her story. I'd like to give a special shout out to our production intern, Anthony Nieves. The Checkout is a production of WBGO Newark. I'm Simon Rettner. Thanks for checking us out.